Chapter 3, Colossians 3. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and freeman, but Christ is all and in all. And so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Wives, be subject to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, that they may not lose heart. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. Amen. Chapter 3, the first part, verse 1 through 4, is actually a continuation from chapter 2. If you remember, in the middle of chapter 2, he talks about baptism. And he says in baptism, we have died, we are buried with Christ, and then we're resurrected. And he's continuing on in that theme, talking about the Christian life and what it looks like. And at the verse 20, chapter 2, 20, he says, you have died with Christ to the elemental principles of the world. So he's talking about this death that we experience. And then in chapter 3, he's talking about the part that we're being raised up now. So it says in verse 1, if then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is. Remember, one of the typical components of Pauline literature is that he tells us about this life in God. He tells us how precious it is and what Christ has done for us and all these wonderful things about the gospel, but he always adds this other element to it of, so this is how you live your life then. Because you have truth, because you understand truth and you've received it and it's been given to you, because you have grace, because love has been poured onto your hearts, as a result of that, now this is the manifestation of how that works. This is how you should live your life. And so he's saying, since you died already, and so it's kind of a given, since you've already been dead, and now you've been raised up in Christ, you're a new creation, and a part of this, since you're raised up, seek the things that are above. Don't act like a dead person anymore. Don't act as your former self, but in this context, he says, put on the new self. Set your mind on things above, because you're a new creature now. You're different. You're not that same old creature. That one has already died. And I think this is really a very important theme for us in our Christian life, because ultimately, this is what our daily cross is. It's we're learning how to die every single day. This really is discipleship. And if someone were to ask me, Pastor Sam, can you describe to me the Christian life in one word? The one word I would choose is just die. Just die. If you can die, I mean, you can die to yourself, you can die to your emotions, you can die to your circumstances, You can die to wanting revenge. You know, I mean, all these different things. If you can just focus on and just die already, man, you would live an incredibly full life. Ultimately, that's the life of Christ. That's taking up your cross daily and following after him. Not my will, but Lord, let your will be done. And he's talking about, and this is why baptism is so important. It's the singular act that we do as believers that embody in one act the fullness of our Christian life. We die, we're buried, and we're resurrected. And so we're not the New Age or Buddhists or, you know, we don't just die for the sake of, oh, I'm empty. That's it. You know, to the point of just the whole idea of emptying yourself and that's it. No, we empty ourselves so that Christ fills us. And we die so that we now move in resurrection power. It's not, the death is not an end to itself. The death is merely a process where Christ can resurrect. And I don't know about you, but I want to live the life that Christ has in mind for me, not the life that I have in mind for myself. And so set your mind on things above. For you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And so you're covered, basically, in the Lord. And when verse 4, and when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you'll also be revealed with him in glory. And we get to partake in the inheritance of God. Sometimes, because we have this idea that if we die, then we lose. You know, or you ever thought of when we surrender? We always think of in the world, surrender is really a bad thing. We surrender and, oh, it's so bad, it's so negative. No, in the Christian life, surrendering is the beginning of living. Surrendering is the beginning of living. As a married person, I really take this to heart. I had a life before I was married, and I thought it was a pretty good life. You know, I mean, a lot of things. After I got married, I realized, man, this is really what living is really all about. I'm not saying if you're not married, then you're not living, okay? So for me, okay? Because I know that we have a lot of singles here. I don't want to make you feel any worse than you already do. So I need more rest. I need more rest. And so, but I look back and I definitely gave up things. I died to myself in many ways for the sake of the marriage, but I don't dwell on that. You very easily can't you? I don't dwell on that. I think of the life that I now have in the fullness of this life, and part of that is having kids, and I mean, it's just all wrapped up together. And I think that's the beauty of what Paul is saying here. We don't think about our past. You know, we don't revel in it because with the death, there's always resurrection power. And sometimes when we think of, if I surrender, I missed out on this, and I don't get to do this, and I don't get to do that. We don't realize the resurrection power, the inheritance of God that we get to walk in, that when we die and we empty ourselves in a certain way, it doesn't mean we lose or we're at a loss. It actually opens up the capacity for God to fill our lives, and we get to be much more exceedingly abundantly, and receive and live than we can ever ask or imagine. And so he's asking these guys, look, put on the new self. And then from verse 5 to about 17, he's talking about this mandate of us living our life in Christ, the absolute command of God to put on this new self. And so he says right from the beginning, so consider the members of your earthly body dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is upon these things that the wrath of God will come. And you once walked in these things. He says, don't walk in these things anymore. Put them all aside. Anger, malice, wrath, slander, abusive speech. Don't lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with his evil practices. So that's your past life. That's the death. And if you involve yourself in any of these things, you're involving yourself in death. And then he says, but let there be a renewal within us, because God has chosen us holy, this is verse 12, Beloved, it says, put on a heart of compassion. This is the resurrected life. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Why? We can forgive because we are forgiven. We can walk in humility. We can walk in compassion. We can be forbearing of others because in reality, because Christ has been for us. You know, and this is the new life. This is the resurrected life. This is the new self that we are to put on. And notice the exact words he says, put this on. In essence, it's kind of like clothing that we get to put on. It's a volitional act of ourselves. It's not necessarily something that just automatically happens to you, but it's something that you need to do deliberately. You need to put on compassion. You need to put on humility. You need to put on forgiveness with one another. You need to put on kindness. Because God has chosen you. God's blessed you. Put these things on yourself. Let it be just in the same way that the shirt that you put on today, your pants, your socks, you know, put this on. Let it be a deliberate act of rising up into this place. And verse 15, and the peace of Christ will rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ, the word of the Lord, richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. What an incredible life verse for all of us. Whatever you do in your speech, in your conduct, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Think about your work. Think about your conversations. Whatever you do, do it for God. Really simple. And he talks about later on, I'll get to a point. Whatever you do, do it for the Lord. Do it unto him. And then he goes into this little part about family relationships. And, you know, and one of the primary ways that we're going to operate in forgiveness and love is actually going to be relationally. And so he hits home first. This idea, and you heard me say this before, right? The light that shines the farthest shines brightest at home. And so we need to take care of home base first. So he says, wives, be subject to your husbands, as is fitting the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be embittered against them. Children, this is going down the line, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is pleasing to the Lord. And this is not just talking about as you being a parent. I mean, you know, we are all children. We all have parents. And no matter if you're 50, 60 years old, right, we should always still honor our mothers and our fathers. Fathers, it's interesting that Paul writes just to the fathers here. You know, fathers, do not exasperate your children. They may not lose heart. And my wife says this to me about once every 2 months. I don't know why I keep exasperating them. It's just in my nature, I guess. But fathers, do not exasperate your children. The word exasperate in the context, better translation, is do not provoke your kids to anger. You know, and so that they may not lose heart. That don't quit bugging them, basically, is the idea. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external services, those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. And then 23, it's touching on 17. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. You know how you can find joy in your workplace? You know how you can have joy in anything that you're doing? You know how you can be so fulfilled in whatever you put your hands to? Is really verse 23. Whatever you do, do your work well. Do your work with all of your heart for the Lord, not for man. Right? You're not working for Goldman Sachs. You know, you're not working for your school. You're not working for your boss. You're working for God. Jesus Christ is your boss. He's your CEO. Right? He is your master. And it's an attitude shift. Have you ever heard the story? there was this mason, and he was out working, and he was a couple of guys were out there, and he was putting bricks together. And one of the guys walked by and says, "Hey, what are you doing?" And he said, "Oh, I'm laying brick." Walked to another guy, same mason, doing the same thing. The guy walked, "Hey, what are you doing?" He says, "Oh, I'm building a wall." Walks over to another guy, doing the same exact job. And he says, "Hey, what are you doing?" He says, "I'm building a cathedral." Right? They're all doing the same exact work. At the end of the day, they're all laying brick. Right? But one is doing it with vision. One is just tedious. I'm just putting some bricks together. I actually don't know what I'm doing. I'm just doing what I've been told. I'm just laying some things out. Another one simply says, "Hey, I'm building a wall. I can see a little something more of what I'm doing." And the other last one says, "I'm building a cathedral." Right? There's vision there. He knows exactly what he's doing, even in the minutest task that's there. Same task everyone else is doing. Can you imagine how wonderful your work life would be if you had the viewpoint of the third guy? That even in the minutest of tasks, you recognize, I'm doing something for God. It could be the same as anyone else, but I'm doing something for the Lord. You know, I watch people. That's basically what I do. You know, before, back in the days when I had no life, I'd go to the airport really early, and I would just watch people at the airport. I don't know why. I look back and say, what a loser. You know, but that's basically what I did. I enjoy watching people. And in between service, I really enjoy watching people clean. I am a clean, neat freak, but it goes beyond that because I see people like vacuuming and cleaning up, and they're so joyful. You know, I mean, really, I watch them, and they're so, you know, they're doing this, and they're so, I could tell in their face, they really enjoy what they're doing. And I know a lot of them actually don't really serve in many other ministries. But now this is their opportunity to serve at church. And I really notice that they're really joyful. They have this look on their face, and they're very thorough in what they're doing. I mean, every once in a while, there's a few knuckleheads that just, you know, were forced to do it by their house church leader. And so, you know, omit that. But that's like one in like 100, right? And even last week, there were a couple of girls, and they were cleaning, and, you know, and they forgot a couple tables that they didn't clean. And it was just like, "Oh, hey, we forgot these tables," right? It wasn't like, "Oh, crap. We forgot these tables." You know, there's more. There's, "Oh, hey, we forgot these tables." And they jumped at it and they cleaned up. And I was so blessed. But it's this kind of this idea that because it's done at church, and I'm not saying that if you do it at church, it's more blessed. It's really not, you know, but the attitude changes. Because when someone's vacuuming or cleaning up at church, that there seems to be, in the sense of the person, this more of this like eternal nature of their service, right? And so they're so filled with joy. But you know what? You could have that at the office as soon as you go there in a few hours. Because it's not about the chore or the act. It's about the attitude that's behind it. You know, and some people, maybe because, you know, they feel like it's church and whatnot, and so they're a lot more joyful when they're vacuuming at church and when they're vacuuming at home, you know, when they're cleaning up at church as we're cleaning up at home. It's an attitude thing. And can you imagine if we had this attitude that Paul's saying, whatever you do, do it heartily as for the Lord, not for man. You're not doing it for your boss. You're doing it for the Lord. And that should affect a couple things. One, it should affect the quality of your work. Right? Your work should be good, right? So don't be lazy. Don't waste your time. Don't do subpar work. This is really your witness in many ways. You know, and the other part that it not only affect the quality of your work, but it will affect the joy in your work. That you're doing this for God. Even though it's still the same tedious thing, it could be still very mundane in everything that you do. But can you imagine if the heart and attitude is right, something changes in us? I preached the message, it must have been like 8 years ago. You know, I'm sure it's on the archive somewhere, but the message was the sanctity of the mundane. And I just talked about how God is blessed and glorified in just really the simple tedious task that we do when we do it for Him. And the point of the message is I was trying to eliminate the gap of the spiritual and the secular. And I was trying to express in the message that in God's view, there is nothing that's spiritual as much, and there's nothing that's really secular. What makes something spiritual or secular is actually our hearts. It's our attitudes. And I think in the message, I mentioned something like, there's nothing more holy, right, than an adult taking care of their child. I mean, just such a simple thing. And a lot of moms, you know, they're so tired, they're so beat down, and very easy to get very resentful. You know, they lose their freedom and whatnot. But if they really sit down and think about it, there's such the beauty of the holiness of just simply caring for a child, changing a child's diaper, you know, breastfeeding a child, preparing the child food, mundane, tasks that we've done and mothers and fathers have done for ages, but so holy, so spiritual in that way. And then just imagine, same thing, doing emails at your work, very mundane tasks that you always do, but having a vision and understanding that this is unto God. It will change the way you look at your workplace. It will change the way you behave and the way you that you do work. Because God can fill you with so much joy, so much purpose, in that whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. Do it for God. The simplest task that you do, the simplest things that you have. A lot of people have this idea that, Pastor Sam, you must be so fulfilled. You know, you get to do God's work full time and et cetera. Yeah, I am. I mean, it's honest truth. But the reality is I didn't always. You know, even spiritual work can become a drag in some ways. I heard this quote. I hope I don't mess it up. You know, it says, spiritual work is secular when the focus is temporal. And secular work is spiritual when the focus is eternal. See, the key issue is our hearts. And we're doing it unto God, no matter what you're doing. You know, filling out some Excel sheet, making some components, caring for a child, cooking dinner for your family. You know, these are all very, very spiritual things. Remember, when you look at work in the Bible, work is a bad rap. Work is a gift of God. Work was given before the fall. Now, labor, right, hard labor and diminishing results are a result of the fall, but God gave Adam work to do, and it was a blessing. And so our jobs, it's a blessing from God. You know, no matter, you know, I know people say, oh, this is not really what I'm made to do. Yeah, you are. You're made to work. Now, it does matter a little bit about what you're doing, and there's that sense in your life, but the reality is you're made to work, period. And so we're meant to do it with joy. And it's all this attitude change that we need to have. Instead of looking at the days in and days out and just, you know, feeling depressed about work and the pressure and all these things, you know, there's this simple attitude that we should have that say, hey, this is for God. I'm not working for my boss. I'm working for a greater boss. You know, I'm working for the boss of all bosses, the king of all kings. And so I'm going to work hard. Now, of just a few minutes, let me give the flip side of this. That's why you should have a Sabbath. Right? This is very clear. You work hard, and there's a point of trusting God and having a Sabbath. You know, it's amazing sometimes, and I'm going to preach on this next year, you know, at length. But it's amazing sometimes that, and I'll just give you a scenario. A lot of Christians, we get so bent out of shape about homosexuality. You know, I'm just like, we go crazy about this issue. When, in essence, the same person that really goes crazy about that actually is horrible at keeping the Sabbath. And not only horrible at keeping the Sabbath, actually prides himself by not having a Sabbath. Oh, I got to go to work. You know, I'm busy. I'm important, right? So yeah, after service, I go. You know, and they don't keep a Sabbath. Yeah, you know, God he kept the Sabbath. He wasn't tired. You know, God doesn't finish 6 days and says, "Ooh, man, I'm beat. Ooh, man, creating all these things really took a lot out of me." God's God. He's not tired. But what does he do? He says, on the seventh day, he rested. You know, he took a Sabbath. Yeah, I'm sure he didn't sleep the whole time, you know, even though that's a part of it. But there's something quite profound about that. And in the sense that, because I don't want to give you a balanced portrait of work. There's our aspect of work, and we work hardly, but we honor that work, and we honor God by keeping a Sabbath, by obeying him in this, you know. And I tell you, I know Solomon's Porch, Hong Kong, a lot of Christians are sinning every single week. I mean, really blatantly sinning before God by not keeping a Sabbath. This is Ten Commandments stuff. You know what I mean? It's right up there with do not murder. It's Ten Commandments stuff. And we so easily toss aside the Sabbath because of our work. See, then you're doing your work for yourself. You're not doing it for the Lord. Right? I just had to add that aspect to it. All right, so let's close our eyes. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Put on the new self, this new life that God has for you. This new life should affect your behavior. This new life should affect your relationships, especially in your home. Wives, kids, parents, slaves, master. And then this new life, this new self, should affect your work. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you. If there's a sense of conviction, just talk to God about it. As Gene leads us in a song, I want to encourage you to analyze this new self. In any of those areas where you sense the conviction, work, family relationships, your actions, your attitude, words from your mouth, let's pray together. Forever. This morning, let's lay our work down. Whatever you're doing, either working at home, working at a company, a firm, let's lay our work down on the altar of sacrifice. And let's really, truly, honestly give our work to God. And just say, Lord, you placed me in this place. Lord, you're the one who provided this situation, this position. Lord, I want to do it for you. And so, Lord, change my attitude, change my heart. Lord, give me joy in this place. But I also recognize, God, that you didn't just put me in this position just to work, God. Lord, you put me in this position to minister to people. And so, Lord, open doors. And I don't have to beat people over the head with the Bible, Lord. I just need to be a genuine witness of Christ every single day. Let me encourage you to ask God to just change your attitude this morning. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as to the Lord, not to man. Let's pray that the reality of that verse would just burn in our spirit, our soul right now. And let's pray together. With a part of that too, added this, ask God to bless you in your workplace. I mean, this is part of that inheritance as well. Ask Lord, say, Lord, just bless me in my workplace. Bless me in relationships. Bless me with my bosses. Bless me with my colleagues. Lord, bless me with the work. God, that it would be extremely successful, God. Bless me with promotion, Lord. And let all these things, Lord, be pointed back to you. Listen, it's not a bad thing to ask God to bless us in our work. It's actually quite biblical. And so let's just spend a moment. Let's do this. Say, Lord, will you just bless my work? Bless what I put my hands to, God. What I put my mind to. Let me be a blessing in my company. Lord, give me ideas and strategies, Lord, that will bless and increase in my company, Lord. And let's just spend some time. Let's just pray for ourselves in that way. Let's go to our community focus and let's pray for our members of our church and family that are going through different things right now. There's a new one that if you've seen, Mary's father has just been diagnosed with bone marrow cancer. Just continue to pray for her and their family. I just got a report from my aunt about her pancreatic cancer. She went through her rounds and it's not growing, which is a good thing, but it's also it hasn't disappeared. And so I think she's going to go for another round, and so we could lift her up as well. There, she's in Chicago. And Jungmin's cousin who's pregnant now just been diagnosed with breast cancer. She's quite young. And then, you know, the other transplants, and I think the situation is still the same. They need a match. So let's lift up and let's ask God to provide supernaturally and heal. And let's pray. Thank you. Let's pray for those who are ill, but also need to hear God's love in their hearts and would accept Jesus. And let's ask God to minister to them physically, but more important, spiritually. Pray for others that are ill with all different kinds of injuries and problems. So let's ask God's hand for healing. Let's pray for our friends that are looking for work. Let's ask God to provide supernaturally for them, to bring connections into their life, and that it would encourage them during this time, and they would use their time wisely. Go to our mission focus, and let's pray for China. Let's ask God to continue to breathe life into this nation. Let's pray for the church plant in Beijing. Pray for Sam Kim, his family, for Chris and his family, and for Mary, our three leaders that we sent out. Let's ask God's hand to be with them. They're just really growing. They're really excited. And let's just pray, continue to pray for community to be built. Let's pray for the Chung family. You know, praise God, they were able to get their visas, and so they're now applying for the residency in China. So let's pray that all that stuff would go well. And they're preparing next year to go on their sabbatical. And so let's ask God to provide for them and make a path. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents. Pray for the Basarabas and Leanne. Pray for Edie Clark and the kids in Chichihar, the orphanage that we support. Pray for the government. Pray for the churches. And ask God's hand to continue to breathe life into China. Let's pray. Thank you. Let's pray for our church staff, the board, and the missions committee. Let's pray for all of our key leaders, that God would just continue to bless their lives and that they would draw near to God every single day. Pray for the health and safety. Pray for family members involved. And let's pray that all the decisions that come out of these groups that would just be filled with the wisdom of God, the heart of God. And let's just pray. Pray for Pastor Salamat and the Febe ministry. Last Sunday, they had 50 Muslims sign up for their English classes. That's like crazy, right? So, I mean, God's really, really doing something. So I think they need more volunteers to help out with the Agape. And let's really pray that all these ladies, these 50 ladies that signed up, you know, that would be illegal to minister to them in Indonesia, but God opens a door of grace here in Hong Kong, that they would receive Jesus Christ through the English classes. Pray for him for strength. He's got a lot more work to do now. Pray for anointing over his family. Pray for the Korean church as well, as they continue to grow and really be a church that God wants. Let's just lift up these ministries before God. Let's pray for our Cunningham weekend that's coming up, our Friday, Saturday, Sunday meetings. So let's pray for traveling mercies. Lauren will be here tomorrow, actually, and pray for a safe flight all the way from Hawaii. Pray for a couple people are coming, Doug and Jill Fears. They'll be ministering this weekend as well. And so let's just pray for all three of them, that they would arrive safely here into Hong Kong. They'd be refreshed and God would just really give them the messages, the words to speak. And let there be an excitement in our community to really receive from this incredible man of God. And let's just lift up the weekend before the Lord. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight at Bonham, Kowloon, Lan Kwai Fong, Old Peak, and Happy Valley. Let's pray for the leaders as they lead discussions and as they lead worship and prayer and in times of ministry, that there'll be a real openness and sensitivity to the Holy Spirit to speak prophetically throughout our meetings. And let's just lift up our friends that are coming out and pray that work schedules will be opened up so they can really come into community, into the presence of God. Let's pray. Thank you. we thank you, God. We thank you for the reminder today, God, that our work, Lord, our very livelihood comes from you. God, you inaugurated, Lord, you blessed us with it, God, and so we pray that you use us. Lord, help us to do our work, Lord, not for ourselves, not for other people, God, not for our vanities, Lord, but for you and you alone, that you would receive all the glory, God. And in that, Lord, that there will be a residue of ministry, Lord, as people would see our lives, God, that we're different, Lord, that we're filled with joy, God, that the ups and downs of the market, God, don't impact us, Lord, because you are our center. And so help us to be a blessing. Bless us to be a blessing, God, to people all around us, everywhere we go. We thank you, Father. Watch over us, Lord, this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day, and please enjoy the rest of your time of prayer. We'll see you guys tomorrow.